Broadcasting from within the borders of the greatest success story the world has ever known, the United States of America. It's time for an honest discussion from a fresh new conservative voice. The C.L. Bryant Show.
Bryant Show is on the air. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, throughout the fruited plains of the greatest nation on the face of the planet, the greatest success story the world has ever known, and that is America. Thank you for coming along with us daily as we build the bridge to conversation throughout our great nation. That is America. I'm blessed from sea to shining sea by our God, the Creator, who gives us the great endowment of life, liberty, and pursuing our happiness. Hey, folks, if you're traveling the road now on a journey in America, you know, and you listen to the show daily, and the many thousands of you across the fruited plains and around the globe who listen to the show on a daily basis, you know that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And friends, that I am saying not only to you daily, but because it is time for men and women of faith and courage to take a giant step forward. Coming up later in the show will be retired physicist Norman Rogers, and he'll be talking to us about dumb energy, the critique on solar and wind power. We'll get his ideas and outlook on that when we come back in the second half of the show. But now I want to bring on with me for the very first time, and it's been far too neglected that we have had him on. I have known him basically all of our lives, and that's over five decades. I'd like to say that he and I are just five decades old, but he and I have grown up together. He's one of my homeboys, and he has an incredible story to tell. We grew up in the Galilee Baptist Church there in my hometown of Shreveport, Louisiana. The Reverend Dr. E. Edward Jones was our home church pastor, and many things we learned from him. God rest his soul, and we certainly want to thank this man for his service to our nation. He is formerly the fire chief of Atlanta, Georgia, and he was appointed by President Barack Obama as the U.S. The U.S. fire administrator under President Barack Obama. He is a man of great conviction. He is a man who has great integrity. He is unashamedly a Christian and also a disciple of Christ. Help me welcome to the show for the first time, Kelvin J. Cochran. Thank you so much for being on with me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on with you, my big brother, Cleon, and thank you so much for that introduction.
And you know what, folks, I can always tell how long people have known me by what they call me. They're either from Galilee or they're from the neighborhood, or we grew up together. And anybody who calls me Cleon has known me a long, long time, and Kelvin is one of those people. Kelvin, you have written a book, and we want to jump right into the genesis of that, and then we'll get some background on you. The book is called Who Told You That You Were Naked? And tell the audience the genesis of writing this particular book.
Well, unless people connect the title of that book with Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, and realize that that was the reason why I was terminated from employment as the fire chief of the city of Atlanta, when they hear that question, Cleon, they probably say, well, no wonder he got fired. But that title came from Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. It's the question that God asked Adam in the Garden Eden, of course. But the origin of it, my brother, was about 5 years ago now. I was conducting a small group Bible study with the men at my church at Elizabeth Baptist Church in Atlanta. And we were going through this study called The Quest for Authentic Manhood. And one of the lessons was God's creation of man. And I asked the guys in that session, are men today still struggling from the consequences of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden? Every last one of them, who were all Christian, all saved, said, yes, we are. And so I didn't let them off the hook easily. I said, well, why do you think that? And so each one of them began to share their personal testimonies as to why they felt that way. And as each man talked, the question, who told you that you were naked, continued to record itself over and over and over again in my head. And so after that session, I began the quest, brother, of finding out, was God asking Adam more than who told you that you don't have on any clothes? And it was just months of research on that question of who told you that you were naked that led to, here's the short answer. That word naked in the context of the Garden of Eden meant condemned and deprived. Adam was asked by God, who told you that you were condemned and deprived? Of course, Adam's solution to his nakedness was fig leaves and hiding behind a tree, and it didn't work. He still felt condemned and deprived. God's solution to his nakedness was to take an innocent lamb, to kill it. It shed its blood, and the Bible says he clothed them with coats of skin. The word clothed, if obviously, is the opposite of naked, and in the context of the garden, it meant redeemed and restored. In the book of Galatians 3:27, there's a scripture that says, those who have been baptized in Christ have been clothed with Christ. And then God gave me the answer to why he wouldn't let that question out of my spirit. He said to me, Kelvin, you were talking to a group of 12 clothed men who are still acting like naked men who are still struggling with condemnation. And unless they walk in the fullness of their salvation as clothed men, they are double-minded. One day they're thinking they're clothed. Whenever they have a transgression, they revert back to nakedness. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And only clothed men will experience the fullness of biblical manhood. And so God commissioned me through that book to ask men today, who told you that you were naked? And I realized that Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. And there's nothing else that we have to do to get in and stay in right relationship with God.
That's an incredible statement that you've made, and it is one I certainly would trust that all of you men, particularly you fathers out there, will heed to. Kelvin, when we look at the critique that you've just made on the American male in our society, and particularly the Christian male in our society, is this perhaps a reason why we see a disintegration in the family in this country? Is it a forfeiture of responsibility of the male in the family, the uncovering of that male that perhaps has produced not a phenomenon but a certainty in this society of the family crumbling if the man does not realize who he is? Talk to us about that.
I believe that to be absolutely true because of condemnation and deprivation, men have really deviated from God's original purpose on our lives. When God created everything and then pulled Eve out of Adam and gave them a charge, God said to them to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, and to have dominion. That was God's original purpose for mankind, spoken through Adam and Eve. And Adam could not do those things without Eve. It took a man and a woman to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, and to have dominion. And that is how God spreads his kingdom throughout the whole earth from one generation to the next generation. And in Adam's original purpose, Brother Cleon, God made him an image of himself in the earth. As God, as our Father, was source, sustainer, provider, protector, nourisher, and foundation of the human family, he put the resources in Adam as the first male to be the source. Eve came out of him, but he also gave him the capacity to sustain Eve and her boys, to nourish Eve and her boys, to protect, provide for them, and to be the foundation of faith and righteousness for the next generation of the sons and daughters that would come after Seth. That's the way God set it up from the beginning. Men today, Cleon, without Christ, cannot really walk in the fullness of being the source, sustainer, provider, protector, nourisher, and foundation of faith and righteousness to pass on the image of God from one generation to the next, from one family to the next. And, of course, being a man who was born initially with a mom and dad, but my dad left my mother with six kids to raise all by herself, I have experienced the full impact of not having a father with my mother, and together, both of them being godly parents, to be the source, sustainer, provider, protector, nourisher, and foundation. Thank God I had a godly mother, and with the help of our Heavenly Father, through the blessings of God manifested in my life over the years, I can say by the grace of God that He has made me a husband and a father, and I am a source, sustainer, provider, protector, nourisher, and foundation in my household. But it's God's intent for men to be that in households all over the world. And I believe because that is not the case, we are experiencing the consequences of fatherless homes all over the world. We are experiencing the consequences of husbands abandoning their wives and children all over the world. If you remember at the end of the book of Malachi, when it talks about the coming of the prophet John, it says one of his responsibilities would be he will restore the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Then it says, else I will curse the land. Well, I think what we're experiencing in America and across the world are the consequences of the lack of fatherless homes who have turned their hearts away from their children. And as a result of that, children who have torn their hearts away from their fathers. I believe we're experiencing the consequences of fatherlessness because those things that we're experiencing every day around the world.
Absolutely.
I know that was a long-winded answer.
No,
but
that is one that is detailed, and it is one that need to be heard. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, it is time for men and women of courage and faith to step forward. On with me is former U.S. Fire Administrator under President Barack Obama, the former police fire chief of Atlanta, Georgia. Kelvin Cochran is on with me. He is the author of the book, Who Told You That You Were Naked? And Kelvin, you know, when we have these types of conversations, I remember others, prominent personalities in our country who have tried to have this conversation. And in many cases, as truthful as the conversation is, they were shouted down and they were called, well, someone who grew up with a silver spoon or whatever in their mouth. You and I grew up in an era where becoming U.S. fire administrator, and full disclosure, Kevin was the first black U.S. fire administrator in the country. And we grew up in a time where that type of lofty position for black Americans was a dream. And of course, Dr. King did have a dream where one day we would enjoy these types of abilities to share our talents with America. And Kelvin is the culmination of that type thing. God has blessed him to do these types of things. But my question is this, Kelvin, people will hear what you're saying, and they may think that you're speaking from a historical standpoint of being someone who was privileged. Now, you opened the door to tell us a little bit about your upbringing. You didn't have a silver spoon in your mouth. I have about 4 minutes left in this segment. I want you to stay with me through the break, but start on that. Give us your journey and your evolution.
Well, my journey starts with being born in the Deep South in Shreveport, Louisiana, at Confederate Memorial Hospital, no less. And when my mama and daddy took me home, we were living in a government project on Allen Avenue called Alameda Terrace. It was one of the poorest neighborhoods in Shreveport, Louisiana. After my two sisters, I was the fourth of four boys. Two sisters were born after I was born. And it was at that time that my dad left my mother for another woman. He was an alcoholic. And we could no longer afford to live in the projects anymore. We were evicted because my mother could not pay the rent. And she had to move us a few blocks over in a back alley called Rear Snow Street, where the poor people live. And I use that word intentionally because there was two categories of poor in Shreveport. It was poor, P-O-O-R, and poor, P-O. The poor people had more than the poor people. And we were in the poor category. We didn't have enough income to qualify for P-O-O-R. And we were on welfare and food stamps. My mother worked at a dry cleaner's, and it just wasn't enough to take care of six kids and to pay the rent in that shotgun house that we were living in. And for the listeners who don't know what a shotgun house is, it's a house with a front room, a middle room, and a back room about as narrow as a regular standard trailer home, but not as long. And it has a front door and a back door. And if you open the front door and back door and shot a gun in the front door, it'll go right out the back door without touching anything. That's why they call them shotgun houses. And I remember, Cleon, how awful poverty was in those days. We had to sleep in the same bed. You know about Big Brother.
Oh, yeah.
All of us slept in the same bed on an old box spring and mattress that was stacked on cinder blocks that had boards across the top of them. And my two little sisters slept in the same room in another little bed stacked on bricks with boards across the top of them. And we were very poor. Mama never had enough money to keep all the utilities on. Something was always off. And the groceries were never enough. At the end of the month, we ended up eating mayonnaise sandwiches and drinking sugar water until the next set of food stamps came, and she could buy groceries again. And so I realized that poverty was an awful thing. I also realized that not having Dad in the house was hard on my precious mother. And thank God she joined the Galilee Baptist Church when we moved in that alley. And I began to see men at church who were with their wives. Your dad was one of them, man. Yeah. And I saw him and your mom and you and other families in Galilee that had dad, mom, and kids. And I began to have a vision of what God wanted a family to look like, and I wanted to have one when I grow up. And it was that alley. It was in that alley one Sunday after church. I don't know if you remember Miss Maddie, Cleon. She lived across the alley from us.
Oh, yeah.
Her house caught on fire. And the Shreveport firefighters came, and I looked at those guys that day. My eyes were lit up. My heart was beating. And after they put that fire out, I looked at my mama and brothers and sisters and said, I want to be a fireman when I grow up. And you know the grown-ups in that era, they asked us all the time, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I don't want to be poor. I want a family, and I want to be a firefighter. And this is what they taught us at church, at school, and in our homes. They said, in the United States of America, all your dreams will come true if you believe in and have faith in God. Go to school and get a good education. If you respect grown-ups and treat other children like you want to be treated, they said, all your dreams are going to come true. We were raised on faith and patriotism, and faith and patriotism is what caused me to be the man that I am today.
Absolutely. I do remember Maddie Carmack. I remember when her house caught on fire, Kelvin. Man, you took me way back down memory lane. We're on with Kelvin Cochran. Kelvin Cochran, former fire chief of Atlanta and former U.S. fire administrator in the Barack Obama administration. I'll be right back.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Our hands are lifted high. Our hearts are bowing.
CL, back with you coast to coast, border to border, building the bridge between the sacred and the secular here on the CL Bryant Show daily over our flagship station, Red State Talk Radio. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming along with us wherever you might be listening. I want to welcome aboard also our friends at Urban Family Talk, a ministry of American Family Radio and Loving Liberty and whatever terrestrial station you might be listening to. Hey, and you folks traveling through Times Square there in New York City, look up above Ripley's, believe it or not, and you will see the Red State Talk billboard there. And every hour, 24 hours a day, the CL Bryant Show does pop up there on that big screen in Times Square. And old CL's face is looking right back at you. Thank you so much for making the show as popular as it has become. My special guest is Kelvin J. Cochran. And I got to tell you something, folks. When he mentioned, you know, I was born in Confederate Memorial Hospital, too. The Lord let me live to see the 28th day of March. It was 63 years ago, and our country was a different place at that point in time. And Kelvin, when I think about that, I think about how close-knit the church family was back in the day, as you and I can say now, because you're not too far behind me. I grew up with Kelvin's older brothers, Raymond and Randy, and Danny came along every once in a while, and you know, but we were friends, and I've known Kelvin since he was a very quiet, very serious young man, still that way. And this is what I want to ask you. Have we seen a time come where we can look back over the span of time and see that back when you and I were growing up, you were on Rear Snow, I was growing up on Milam Street, and we did not see the benefits or the times were not as good, but it seemed to me, Kelvin, that people were better. And the reason I'm saying that is because it seems that the church was more of the central focus of the community. Have we lost that as a people, both black and American people? And do you see the church not having the effect that it once did, or are we missing something? Talk to us about it.
Well, I think that from my experience, from the way things were in Shreveport, Louisiana, when we grew up, we had a diversity of economic demographics in the Galilee Baptist Church. Of course, it was predominantly African-American church, but there was a diversity of demographics, several single moms and a lot of poor single moms and, of course, families, that were together. But as Pastor Jones taught in those days, there are no big I's and no little U's. It's the church where everybody is somebody. So he inspired a sense of community.
Come on back, Kelvin. I think I lost you. We lost Kelvin there for just a moment. I don't know what may have happened, but Kelvin, come on back to us. He was talking about the sense of community there, and I really would love to hear his continued take on that. So we'll continue with Kelvin Cochran. I don't know what happened, Kelvin, to you. We have you 4x4 here
in communities across the United States of America, but church closed a significant gap in any lack within a family, no matter what that lack might have been, and it was a true sense of community. What we heard at home was repeated at the church. What we heard at church and home was repeated at school. And so there was, it was a, that whole village unity concept that existed in that era. And certainly the opportunities that we were deprived of in those days was enough reason to be down and out, but we just never felt down and out. There was always hope that there was going to be a brighter future for us and our families, and that equity and justice would soon win out, that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was going to be a reality one day. I mean, we just believed that. That was instilled in us as kids. Children today no longer have a structure, a family, church, and school that is as supportive and united as it was when we were kids. Everywhere we went, we were inspired to dream big dreams. Brother Cleon, I've spoken to children in middle school over the last few years who don't have hope, who don't have dreams, who don't have a vision of a better future. And I think it's because they don't have a godly parent in their house that's telling them that all things are possible to them that believe, that's really instilling in them the value of the patriotism and stewardship of citizenship, and that are not connected to a community of faith called the local church that backs up those values in the home that are biblically based values. And certainly the schools in public schools do not consistently provide the support to not only educate children, but to feed their dreams and their vision for the future. And I think what we're experiencing today is by and large a consequence of not having what we had in those areas, family, church, and school, when we were growing up.
One final question for you, Kelvin, is this. When we look at the ability to speak publicly our convictions and faith, one of the things that created the situation and the furor around you was you saying what was on your mind, and what was on your mind became public knowledge. Now, anybody that knows Kelvin knows that he is a man of principle. And when it comes to standing on principle or going along with the crowd for popularity, folks always choose the principle, always choose your core values. Ours happens to be the Judeo-Christian ethic. We're both Christians. Kelvin, is there a true attack on religious liberty in this country from your perspective?
Oh, absolutely, yes, Cleon. And my story is just one of a growing list of many where a government entity and special interest groups have worked together to pose adverse action on another American for publicly proclaiming a position based upon biblical truth that is not consistent with popular culture and the shifting pluralisms of political correctness. And my situation came as a result, again, of in my own private time writing the book, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Overcoming the Stronghold of Condemnation. And in our country, we have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. However, I found out after what happened to me that it is no longer, there's no longer a sense of true tolerance as it relates to speech and religion in the United States of America, especially when it comes to certain topical areas like marriage and sexuality. And so in a 162-page book written for Christian men Bible study, again with the theme of overcoming the stronghold of condemnation, I simply, in a few paragraphs, defined what the Bible says about marriage and what the Bible says about sexuality and sex. And it was the expression of those biblical views of marriage and sexuality that caused my 34-year childhood dream come true fairy tale career to come to a screeching halt.
Wow. You know, Kelvin, everyone wants to know now, how do they get a hold of your book? Tell them how to get a hold of you as well, in case they want you to come and speak to them wherever they may be in the country and perhaps wherever you might be around the globe. Kelvin, you have the last word. Tell them how to get in touch.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. I can be reached at kelvin.cochran@yahoo.com for speaking engagements regarding religious liberty and for men's ministry opportunities. I just have a passion for advocating for religious liberty and a passion for men being who God has created us to be and who has called us to be. And if I could be of service to you in that regard, please email me at kelvin.cochran@yahoo.com. Also, the book, Who Told You That You Are Naked, can be found on the website 3GPublishingInc.com. That's 3GPublishingInc.com, or AmazonBooks.com is another way to find Who Told You That You Were Naked.
Pick it up.
So thank you so much for that, brother.
You, by all means, and we got to have you back because there are there's an expansion on topics that you brought up here today that I do want to investigate and go down the path with you on. And again, my guest has been Kelvin Cochran, former U.S. Fire Administrator under President Obama and former fire chief of the great city of Atlanta. And thank you again. Tell everyone that I said hello. And I need to say this. His mother, Jane Cochran, was, you may not have ever known this, Kelvin, but she was an inspiration to all of us. She was evangelical.
Wow.
She was evangelical and was leading the way to that before any of us had a clue, folks. I got to tell you that. God bless you.
Wow.
And God keep you.
Thank
is
you.
My prayer. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
I'm CL. This is the CL Bryant Show. My next guest is a retired physicist and author, Norman Rogers. And he has a very interesting story to tell each and every one of you. And it's contained in a book called Dumb Energy: A Critique of Wind and Solar Energy. You may be thinking that that is the way to go. And with the Ocasio-Cortezes and all of the dwarfs that are following behind her running for president, this is going to be a topic on the table in our American living room. So help me welcome to the show the author of this book, Dumb Energy: A Critique of Wind and Solar, Norman Rogers. Welcome, I believe, for the first time to the C.L. Bryant Show. How are you, friend?
I'm doing well, and I'm happy to be here.
So glad that you are here. Norman, let me ask you this. When you, well, what's the genesis? Let's ask it this way. What was the genesis of you writing this particular book, Dumb Energy, A Critique of Wind and Solar Energy?
Well, when I retired, I got interested in the whole global warming thing, and that led me to the green energy thing. And so I just decided to look into it and do the numbers on it, and I discovered that it's, you know, very completely a fraud.
And so we have heard these words before. You've heard me say these very same things. And of course, you're a Neanderthal if you say those type things. So let's investigate it. Let's unpack it here with retired physicist and author Norman Rogers. Norman, when we talk about it being a fraud, you have to call Al Gore. Then we must be a fraud in all of the global warming and the polar bears disappearing and ice melt. Talk to us about what's fraudulent about it.
Well, wind and solar is erratic energy. It comes and goes. Obviously, the solar goes away every night when the sun sets. And as a result, you have to have a backup source of power to take over when the wind or solar fails. And so you really end up with two complete sets of power plants. it's not economical to have two complete sets of power plants. In fact, since you have all these backup plants that are perfectly capable of carrying the load, why bother with the wind and solar at all? There's just no reason. Yet it's been foisted on us by a lot of very self-interested people who have good lobbyists, and there are huge government subsidies for wind and solar. It's about 70% subsidized. And they go out and say, well, it's cheaper than your conventional power. But they forget to mention that the only reason it's ever cheaper is because it's 70% subsidized.
Wow. And folks, this is important, that you grab the fact that you're already paying. Your money is the subsidy. Understand that. The government doesn't have any money. It's your money that's subsidizing a fraud. And that is important for you to understand. So my next question to you then would be this. What's the end game? There has to be a purpose in our politicians, some of them, our legislators, wanting to take us in this direction. Is there a rhyme and reason to it, Norman Rogers?
Yeah, I think there's a number of self-interested groups that kind of conspire together to push this. You have the scientific technological establishment that pushes the whole global warming theme. And that's been a big bonanza for them, because the where science has come to these days is if you predict doomsday, you predict something terrible is going to happen, you get a lot of attention and money. If you were to just say, well, the climate's going fine, everything's about as it's always been, no one would pay any attention to you. So they have a vested interest in doing that. You have the manufacturers of the wind turbines, and you also have the environmental groups, for instance, the Sierra Club. The Sierra Club has a long history of hating energy, of just about every type of energy. Of course, they hate dams on rivers, so they hate hydroelectric energy. They hate nuclear energy, and they had a huge campaign against that back in the 70s and 80s. They hate coal, and they have a campaign going on against that right now. So they really had to have some kind of alternative, because we do need energy, so they came up with supporting wind and solar. But wind and solar is really not practical. That seems to escape them.
When we hear the rantings of someone like an Ocasio-Cortez, are we hearing someone who is absolutely speaking out of school and from a position that lacks knowledge? Norman, I want you to hold that thought. And I also, because we're about up against a break here, and I want you to come back with me after the break. But also, as a follow-up to that question, I also want to ask about, you received your BA in physics from the University of California at Berkeley, as well as your MS physics from University of Hawaii. And we also want to share with the audience how to get a hold of your work and how to get a hold of you if, in fact, they want to bring you to a place where you could speak to their civic church or organizations, whatever it might be, that you want to get the real skinny from a physicist on this particular topic. But we're on with Norman Rogers, retired physicist and the author of the book Dumb Energy, a critique of wind and solar energy, right here on the C.L. Bryant Show. Reminding all of you who are walking through Times Square, look up above Ripley's Believe It or Not. And every hour you will see on the Red State Talk billboard, the C.L. Bryant Show does pop up there 24 hours a day, every hour. And old C.L.'s face is looking right back at you there in Times Square. All of you who might be leaving me at the top of the hour, only carry 1 hour of the show, I want to thank you for coming along as we build the bridge to conversation throughout our great nation, the greatest nation on the face of the planet. That would be America, the greatest success story the world has known.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities.
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Stand up for America. Then Americans, stand up, stand up, stand up. God bless you. God bless America.
Do the best I can, always lend a helping hand, and for the flag I stand.
CL back with you coast to coast, border to border, throughout the fruited plains of America. That was D-Rock's latest hit, I Am an American, and I was honored to lend my voice to the opening of that song. Get it wherever music is sold. I'm on with retired physicist, and he is also author of the book Dumb Energy, A Critique of Wind and Solar. Norman Rogers is my guest. Norman, tell the folks where they can pick up the book and how to get a hold of you if they want you to come out and speak to them on this topic.
Yes, I have a website, dumbenergy.com, and if they go to the website, they can contact me. The book is also available on Amazon, so it's no problem to get the book.
Grab it, folks. Check it out. It is a pertinent topic for today. Throughout the globe, wherever you are, this is a topical issue that we are dealing with. I see that you attended both University of California, Berkeley, UC California, Berkeley, as well as University of Hawaii. Both of those places in current day America are bastions of progressive liberal thought that it seemed to be the engine behind the green energy ideals that we are seeing today. Norman, it appears that you have put aside all of the flavor that goes with Berkeley and the University of Hawaii to come to a very sensible conclusion about certain realities. Is it uncommon for a physicist like yourself to escape with this type of thought pattern, having been educated in a place like Berkeley and the University of Hawaii? Talk to us about your educational background, and have you always been an advocate for this type of common sense? Talk to us.
Yeah, well, I hate to reveal my age, but I graduated from Berkeley in 1965.
Wow.
There was a lot of turmoil then, but it wasn't exactly like it is now. We definitely had an element at Berkeley at that time that I would characterize as being communist. But actually, Berkeley kind of radicalized me in sort of the opposite direction, made me more conservative. And the University of Hawaii was a nice place and not nearly as radical as Berkeley. So that's the story of my education.
You know, when you say the University of Hawaii was a nice place, I heard everyone around the country listening to the show say, "Really?" And so I got to tell you, I've never been to Hawaii, but Jane and I are on our way there here in the summer, and I certainly am looking forward to it. So the conservatism was actually an act of rebellion against a communist trend that may have been occurring or was occurring back in the mid-60s. And folks, that was the era of the beatniks, the hippies, and the coffee houses there in Berkeley. So you sort of rebelled against that, or you found a different avenue for yourself. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it led you to this point in time. Now, Ocasio-Cortez, the new green energy deal. Give us your take on why it works, why it wouldn't work.
She's so poorly uninformed and so bad that even the Democrats are getting on her case. I know they attacked her very heavily on Meet the Press yesterday. You know, her whole idea that we're going to go to green energy. Of course, I've already said it's dumb energy. It doesn't make any sense at all. But the idea that, you know, 86% of the carbon dioxide emissions come from outside the United States. We're only contributing 14%. So, you know, she doesn't talk about getting China or India to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions. It's like, you know, it doesn't make any sense what she's doing. And they caught her also on the whole Amazon thing, where she didn't really understand, you know, Amazon was going to go to New York City, and there was a big protest against it, and so Amazon said, goodbye, we're not coming. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. It's the people finally won a victory over the big, bad corporation, but actually New York lost out, of course, in a very big way. And the mayor of New York, who's no conservative, said they had expected to get $27 billion worth of benefits from Amazon coming there, and they were giving them some tax benefits amounting to $3 billion. And
right,
she's a child. She doesn't know what she's talking about, but she has a big following.
It's incredible, you know, the following that she has. We're on with retired physicist and author Norman Rogers. And when we talk about jobs that can be lost to nuclear, nuclear energy, to wind and solar ideals like Ocasio-Cortez has put forward, Norman Rogers has definitely hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of money that can be and was lost in that deal. Listen, if you own a clothing store, a dry cleaners, a fingernail parlor where women go get their nails done, barbershops, restaurants, you name it, when those many jobs fail to materialize in your city, believe me, there is business loss. And, you know, one other thing that she forgot and does not understand, and you pointed this out, Norman Rogers, is that the state of New York was going to give something like $3 billion in tax incentives. Somehow she felt as though that was real money. That is not real money that New York was going to give to Amazon. She was saying that same money can be used to revitalize neighborhoods. The high of her ignorance is just absolutely stifling as far as that is concerned. When Al Gore, Norman Rogers, brought up the idea that the polar caps were melting and all of that, you mentioned something about the whole generation of the way the world works or physics works is cyclical. Is that something that he left out of that argument? Is this a cyclical thing as far as the rising and falling of the oceans and all of that? Talk to us about that.
Well, the climate is very complicated, and there's a lot of things, a lot of wheels turning. And it's not as simple as saying, well, you put carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and it's going to warm the Earth catastrophically. It may warm the Earth a little bit, but the evidence is at this point that the carbon dioxide really doesn't have a huge warming effect. However, the carbon dioxide does have a greening effect because plants, as we all know, plants breathe in carbon dioxide, and the carbon and carbon dioxide allows them to make their plant bodies, which are hydrocarbons. So the increase in carbon dioxide in the last 30 or 40 years has resulted in significant backtracking of the deserts, increased productivity in agriculture. So carbon dioxide is probably a pretty good thing.
I know that trees love them. Trees love carbon dioxide, folks. There's no doubt about it as far as that is concerned. Last question for you. Norman Rogers is on with us, author of the book Dumb Energy, A Critique of Wind and Solar Energy. Pick it up on Amazon. And of course, we're going to have him tell us where you can get in touch with him right before we end the interview today. 12 years, the progressive liberals, Ocasio-Cortez and others are saying is all we have to change the direction and refit our buildings and refit our homes so that we don't kill ourselves. Any truth to that, Norman Rogers?
No, it's pathetically ridiculous. You know, we're not going to turn the economy upside down for 12 years without impoverishing the whole country. because, you know, supposedly she graduated from college with a degree in economics, but she really seems to have no conception of how the economy works or what's involved. And we're going to have a Manhattan Project to turn the whole world upside down, and there's no point to it. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
And that is from someone who has studied the field of physics, has retired from it with stellar credentials. Norman, tell the folks how to get a hold of you and how to get a hold of your book once again.
Yes, you can go to the website dumbenergy.com and you can contact me there. And the book is, you can get it at that website or go to Amazon or just Google Dumb Energy. It's very easy to find.
I want to thank you for being on with me. We will have you on again. It was enlightening. I wish that I had more time to talk with you, because I'd like to explore the Michael Moore and the Al Gore approach to the counterbalance, this conversation that we're having. And again, it was enlightening, and I'm certain that our audience needed to have someone like you to express the opinions that they think, but they don't have any real foundation to say. And so get the book, folks. Dumb Energy, A Critique of Wind and Solar Energy. It is by Norman Rogers, retired physicist and author. And you have to be armed with certain facts. Are you hearing me? Because there is a lot of smoke being blown at and toward the American people at this point in time. And again, Norman Rogers, thank you, man. God bless and God keep you. Continue to fight the good fight. I know that you will, because you are fighting the good fight. Again, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm CL. This is the CL Bryant Show, and that was Norman Rogers, author of the book Dumb Energy, A Critique on Wind and Solar Energy. And on with me before he was on today was Kelvin Cochran, former fire chief of Atlanta and former U.S. fire administrator, who was appointed by President Barack Obama. And both of these interviews today were, in fact, enlightening, both to me and I certainly hope you as well. Now, when I come back after the news break, and those of you who might be leaving me at the top of the hour, your stations may only carry 1 hour of the show, be sure to download the free CL Bryant Show app onto your iPhone or Android device and listen to the show wherever you go live. And all of the other shows are critiqued or stored right there, cataloged right there on the app, the CL Bryant Show app. After the break, we're going to have to talk about this Jesse Smollett. You see, we're trying to overcome race and racial problems and racial issues in this country. But case in point and proof positive that there are factions, there are people, movements even, that are designed to keep the racial pot stirred, not in a way so that we can all drink from the refreshing soup of brotherhood and unity, but that there would be a continual division. It's beginning to appear that this was an act to divide. We want to examine why this would be the case here in America 2019 when the CL Bryant Show returns. Don't go anywhere.
broadcasting from within the borders of the greatest success story the world has ever known, the United States of America. It's time for an honest discussion from a fresh, new conservative voice, the C.L. Bryant Show.
Hour number two. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, throughout the fruited plains of the greatest nation on the face of the planet, the greatest success story the world has ever known, and that is America. I'm C.L. Bryant. This is the C.L. Bryant Show. Thank you for staying with us. Hour number two is underway right here on Red State, Red State Talk Radio, Red State Talk Radio billboard right above Ripley's Believe It or Not there in Times Square. And every hour on the hour, the C.L. Bryant Show does pop up there in Times Square. And I want to thank each and every one of you for coming along with us daily as we build the bridge to conversation. Now, you should know this, that if there is someone who is building something, or if there is a healing process that is going on or that is taking place, know this, be sure that you know this. There is always someone or something that would like to tear it down. Are you hearing me? There is always someone or something that would like to tear it down. And hey, friends. Yeah. When we look at race in this country, the issue of race in this country, there are many who would like to see it healed. Yeah, in fact, I believe that the truth of the matter is most Americans, unless you are warped and twisted and warped, want to see racial unity in this country. Now, my wife and I, Jane, got in to a discussion about this the other day, and I'm going to bring up something that you hear all the time, and you know, you don't ever have to agree with me. I'm an opinionator. I build bridges to conversation. It very well may be a bridge that we can walk across together, back and forth. It's a two-way bridge. There's no question about that. But we were talking about this ethnicity thing and race thing in this country as far as that is concerned. I contended that there are races of people on the planet. And I can use the animal kingdom, perhaps, even though we're certainly created above the animals and been given dominion over the animals. But the design of difference is still there as far as distinctions are concerned, even if horses, if you deal with horses. You have various types of horses. Same type of animal, but different breeds. Oh, are you hearing me? And I'm saying that in response to, and I know it's very popular. I have very good friends. In fact, national and international friends who use this phrase as a mantra, but I don't necessarily buy into the full scope of what they're saying, because human beings, plants, flowers, animals, we're all broken down into different breeds. And even though we have the same human makeup and anatomy, we are different types of human beings. Yeah. What I'm getting at is this. The statement, there's only one race, and that's the human race. We should not be broken up into categories. That is not necessarily on its face so. It's just not so. Pygmies are human beings. They certainly are. Aborigines are human beings. They certainly are. But they are different. You have people who live toward the North Pole, the Aleuts. The Eskimos are much different than pygmies. And certainly, perhaps, there is a difference in the way they view the earth that we live on if you are a part of those types of groups who are very distinguished. Yeah, they are very distinguished groups of people. Human beings, yes. But I would dare say not a different ethnicity. They are a different breed, race of human beings. Just like a quarter horse is a different breed of horse than a draft horse or even a racehorse. Even though they both run fast. Quarter horses run very fast, but they were bred to do different things. And I believe when we look at the full scope of who God is and how multifaceted he is, we must take into account that he is a very big deal. In fact, he's the biggest deal there ever was, in which all of us are contained in his oneness and his bigness. But we, because he is so multifaceted, I believe created in his own image a people that could reflect how multifaceted our Creator is. And I believe that there are forces, call it evil, call it the devil, call it whatever you want to call it. But I do believe that there are forces on this planet that would like to use the multifaceted human being as a tool to divide the crowning creation of God. And that is man himself. Man, whether he comes from, whether he lives now in Africa or Asia or North America, or if he lives in New Guinea or wherever they may live, I believe that there is a reason why this human that was created from one blood now inhabits all of the earth. Yes, one blood, one human creation, common ancestry, tracked back to one common ancestor. And scripture says it was Adam and Eve. Scientists are beginning to say this as well, that they can trace all of humanity back to two common parents. We call them Adam and Eve. In my discipline as a Christian, I call them Adam and Eve. Scientists call them a common parent, two common parents, which, of course, were fruitful and multiplied. And the seed from that has, in fact, spread throughout the earth. And because of that, different races of people did, in fact, evolve because of the transmigration of the children of those two common ancestors. I call them Adam and Eve. The scripture identifies different tribes, the Amalekites. All you have to go through all the Ites and the Israelites and the Jebusites, all those types of people. When you start looking at the Canaanites, you know, when you start looking at the different races of people, you may say, "Oh, they weren't. They were just no. They weren't different ethnicities." They were actually different races of people. And I'll tell you this, because they had their own unique things that they did in their race with living that others who encountered them did not participate in or enjoy. In fact, the scripture instructs one group of people, the Israelites, and this, you know, to destroy another race of people so that the practices that they were engaged in would not contaminate a new group of people who were coming into the land. Now, I know that we can get into some really deep water and way off into the weeds if, in fact, we continue further down that trail any further than I'm willing to go today, but I'd be happy to talk to anyone about it. But when we look at America versus the Soviet Union, or versus China, you are looking at three different races of people. The Soviet Union are a different race of people than the Chinese. And so it is with America being a different race of people other than the Russians or the Chinese. That's the context in which I'm talking about. When I look at race, I do not consider that to be necessarily a color thing. Yeah, I went all the way around the barn to get to that one point. It is a part of who you belong to on this earth. Are you hearing me? Who do you belong to on this earth? You see, races of people also embrace world views, basically the same. And the American credo, and this is why we're having all of this discussion now about protecting our country, because even though you have other human beings wanting to come into this country, our concern is how they will affect our race of people as Americans. Yeah. Yeah. And there are subversive ideas within certain races of people that shouldn't be there. They're not germane or beneficial to the nation as a whole. Race does break down into nationality. I wish that we had time to talk about it. And we will. We're going to have to pursue this. Because every time I hear someone say, there's only one race of people, and that's the human race, that's not exactly true. It is true, but not exactly true. It's not the whole truth. It's a general truth, but it's not a specific truth. Are you hearing me? Jane and I went round and round about this over the weekend. And I understand her point, and I concede that point, that there is only one people coming from one common blood. But that one people then transmigrated into races of people living actually in different necks of the woods. And it's broken down into microcosms throughout the United States. You go to South, you go to North and South Carolina. You have Highlanders. You have lowlanders, lowland, low country food. Okay, you have high, you have country mountain type food. You have low country food. Southern Louisiana, we're divided into two different types of people. Northern Louisiana is a whole different place than Southern Louisiana. North Florida is a whole different place than South Florida. In fact, Miami is a totally different planet than the rest of Florida. Different types of people live in South Florida than they do in Northern Florida. Human beings, yeah, but different types of people who enjoy life differently. And they see things much differently, even in politics. You're conservative, you're more conservative people tend to be in Northern Florida. Same way with Louisiana. Same way with California. Southern California is a liberal bastion. You go north in California, hey, yeah, people who are more conservative. You can believe that. When we talk about California being a liberal, we're not talking about the whole state. No, 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 no. California, there are many, many conservatives up around Sacramento and Northern California. Outside of Oakland, there are many, many conservatives. It was once called the stronghold of Reagan country. I don't think Ronald Reagan could get elected there today, but that was the stronghold. Reagan country, okay? So, Jesse Smollett went all the way around the barn to get to this topic. Jesse Smollett, Empire, singer and actor, hit show. Jane and I have watched it on occasion. It is great acting. In the show, but you know, hey, it's one of those shows where you don't let the kids watch. It's a network show. It comes on in prime time. Kids are all over it. They know every song that's on it. Jesse Smollett is Jamal Lyon on the show, and he's a fantastic singer. Has great talent. But now we find that there are people or things that will try to undermine the human race in America. Yeah. By way of creating racial tension. Why he did such a thing? Well, I think all that's going to come out probably when he's charged for making false accusations and filing a false police report. That's the way this is trending today. When all of this first came out, when it first hit the fan, he was obviously, and everybody was holding their breath, because his story indicated that he had been assaulted by white men who were yelling, "Make America Great Again. This is Trump country." I'll be back. We're going to talk about it.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, "Alexa, Play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Are lifted high. Our hearts are bowing in reverence.
CL, back with you coast to coast, border to border. We were talking about this issue that is surrounding Empire star Jesse Smollett, plays Jamal Lyon on Empire, and very talented, pardon me, individual. And for whatever reason, this last week he did, in fact, level charges, real or imagined, at attackers, beating him up, saying that he was beaten up. And he could hear the screams, the shouts of "This is Trump country, MAGA, make America great again." Now, naturally, when someone is high-profiled, as Smollett is, he's from New Orleans, so I'm pretty sure that name is traditionally pronounced Smollett. But as high-profile as he is, you have to take, take into account, if you're going to say that you were attacked, you can best believe that the police are going to get to the bottom of it. And some may say, well, that proves that the police show favorites to certain people. I mean, you know, if he hadn't been a high-profile network television star, as far as that's concerned, the police may have never looked into it. Yes, they would have. They would have looked into it, but you and I would have never known about it. But when you have a high-profile individual like Jesse Smollett, who reports that he has been a victim of a hate crime, you're certainly going to have the police, perhaps even the FBI, and I think the FBI have looked into it, investigating. And they have come to the conclusion that the testimony that was given by this actor very well could be false. In fact, they have now taken him off the victims list. And if he's not a victim of a crime that he reported to be a hate crime, then he is a suspect then now of being a perpetrator of a lie, fraud. And what I want to unpack here is where this is going and why this type of thing does happen. I don't think that we'll ever get to the true bottom of why Jesse Smollett did what he did, but you can believe this. He certainly thought that you, the police, myself, the news media, would believe him. It would have to be true. Now, two things come into play here when you think about this. One, he is a liberal. He is gay. And he is a person who, in fact, is out of touch. with the reality of the American experience today. And I would dare say that most of the progressive liberals, the LGBT community, Hollywood itself, are out of touch with what America is about today. What I see in this narrative of Jesse Smollett accusing a couple of white men, yelling, "Make America great again. This is Trump country." The way I view this, him saying it like that, was designed to get maximum racial emotional effect. And initially, he got it. Oh, man, the CNN, MSNBC, this was gasoline doused from a bucket on their fire. Oh, finally, we have something here that would prove conclusively that Donald John Trump is bad for this country. Because he is stoking incidents like this to occur in places and to people who this should never happen to. The only problem with the narrative is that it was a lie. It's being proven to be a lie. And somehow, Jesse Smollett believed that he could get away with telling this lie. Was it a publicity stunt? If it was, he got it. But he also ruined an image, which they never set out to do. They always set out to strengthen the image. Don't ever get that wrong. They always set out to strengthen the image. And they use certain publicity stunts in order to do that. Analyzing what he said initially was that he was on the phone with his handler, his manager. And for some reason, he was attacked while he was on the phone. That was, I don't know if that was true or not. We don't know. I don't know if he's handed over the phone or not. I mean, he had personal stuff in there, but we all do. But when you get down to trying to solve a hate crime, hey, the police are going to be very discreet when they're looking into your stuff. You have enough clout and quite possibly enough money to make certain that certain things remain unrevealed that's on your cell phone. So his initial concern about being outed or his friends and family or whatever being outed should not have been a concern at all. However, he made it that way. Yeah, he did. Secondly, he said that he was about to be dismissed from the series Empire. Turns out to be a lie. And then the most curious thing about the neighborhood that he lives in is that I don't think that anyone with any sense about them at all in their right mind would dare take the time to try and accost somebody in his neighborhood. Let me tell you why. You see, it is reported by, widely reported now, that his neighborhood is half gay and the other half is black. Are you hearing me? Are you beginning to see the picture that I'm painting here? Half of his neighborhood is gay, like he is. The other half of the neighborhood that he lives in is black. Now, two white guys in particular, I don't know if they had on the MAGA hats or not. That was not a part of the story. But the truth is they don't exist. So I don't know if the Nigerians, and we'll talk a little bit about them here in a minute, who actually might have been paid to participate in this hoax. I don't know if they had on MAGA hats or not, but somebody did punch Jesse out. And I don't know if it was by way of explaining what happened to his face or not that led him to do this. But two white guys in that neighborhood attacking a high-profile Hollywood celebrity would have to be foaming at the mouth, mad. They would have to have been bitten by a rabid skunk to actually try to do such a thing. And then not be seen by anybody as they either ran away or drove away fast before a brick comes through the windshield or somebody stops them. That was a major problem, and it is a major problem with his story that cannot be codified. It cannot be substantiated. And so the only thing left to believe is that Jesse, for whatever reason, is lying. Now, let's unpack why. This lie had been embraced, relished, and believed to be true, at least in the first hours of it. Why did he think he could get away with saying such a thing? It is proof positive that there are factions who are wanting a race war in America. Oh, you can start with your David Dukes and the Ku Klux Klan. You can start with the Black Lives. You can go with the Black Lives Matter movement. Hands up, don't shoot. Antifa. Most of the things that Joy Behar says. Most of the things that's talked about on CNN, MSNBC, the usual suspects. It's evident that there are people who would like nothing more than to see a race war in this country. Am I saying that that's the way it was with Jesse Smollett? No, I'm not. I think Jesse got himself into a bad situation, and he needed to find a lie to cover the bad situation. That's exactly what I think happened, and I think that's may or may not going to come out. But what is coming out is the fact that the story he initially told about being attacked and mugged by two white men shouting "Make America Great Again" that didn't even make any sense. If there were two men like that, they need to be caught and kicked repeatedly in the behind. I mean, you know, caught and kicked repeatedly in the behind. Maybe we could get that Korean, that Chinese guy who administers the cane whippings when somebody steals something in China or Korea to come and just whack the devil out of them with a cane if you actually found somebody who was that stupid who would do such a thing, but they don't exist. So does Jesse need to be whacked with a cane? Or the two Nigerian guys. Oh, no, they never stand for that. Not even though he lied and made fools out of the news media, who was all on board with Jesse there for a while. Until, well, the bottom fell out of it.
It just simply proved not to be true. It wasn't so. Nay, nay. But it's believable. It's believable for one reason and one reason alone. The progressive liberal media has programmed America to believe that. Yeah. And these types of people do show up at Trump rallies, and many of them who cause problems at Trump rallies, they're not Trump followers at all. They're there in order to give the progressive liberal media a story. It is true. The president does point out media, calls them fake news, just about at every rally he has. But what fake news breeds is fake news. Are you hearing me? What fake news breeds is fake news. And Jesse Smollett believed that he could, in fact, get away with fake news, fake reporting, because it's done every day, right in front of your eyes. And many of the things that are reported news channels, the network news channels, and the cable news channels, Hollywood elites know for a fact that the things that are coming out of Huffington Post, CNN, MSNBC, they know for a fact that they're lies. But it supports, reinforces their narratives. And so, them being elite, like they are, they feel that, hey, if anything goes down, I get into a scuffle or a misunderstanding or some really crazy stuff in the middle of the night, the early morning hours of the night, I can always say it was two white guys who were yelling and screaming, "Make America Great Again." How diabolical is that? I mean to tell you about fundamental change. Put it all together. Mostly gay, half gay, half black neighborhood. Middle of the night. People roaming around the street. Middle of the night. Still. Weekend. Still. I don't see anyone with a hood unless they've been bitten by a rabbit skunk and the incubation period is gone by and they're foaming at the mouth. I don't see anybody, even if they're stupid enough to wear a hood over their head, wanting to engage that. And by the way, boy, they really hit the jackpot when they decided to attack Jesse Smollett, who is a nationally world-renowned star because of his role on Empire. Man, that was, talk about luck of the draw. But it didn't happen. Didn't happen. I'll be right back with more of the C.L. Bryant Show as we build the bridge to conversation right here in our great nation, America, the greatest nation on the face of the planet, the greatest success story the world has known.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Stand up for America. Then Americans, stand up, stand up, stand up. God bless you. God bless America.
I do the best I can. Always lend a helping hand. And for the flag I stand.
CL back with you, home stretch of the CL Bryant Show. Today, throughout the Fruited Plains of America, trying to fight off, I don't know if it's an allergy or I don't feel like a cold. Certainly feels like an allergy here today, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because everything's budding out down here. This cool down's supposed to come, and not that I've always been bothered by pollen or anything. I don't really think there is, but that's what I'm fighting off. So if my voice sounds a little bit funny today, that's what it is. We were talking about the race war that progressive liberals would like to see in this country. No, I'm not being extreme. No. I'm not being extreme at all. I am telling you that there is a faction in this country that would like to create a race war. It's disgraceful. The measures, the means that they will go to in order to do this. Are you hearing me? The measures and the means that they will go to in order to do this is, it's just extreme. It's incredibly extreme. And this Jesse Smollett thing is an example of just how far they're willing to go in the minds of progressive liberals. Now, understand that there had to be somewhere in Smollett's mind, in Jesse Smollett's mind, the idea that he was believable if he told that story like that. I can only imagine what's going on between him, the show executives, and his attorneys. His manager that he's supposedly on the phone with may soon not be looking for. It's hard to get work when you become controversial in a negative way. You see, if this had been true, which is being proven not to be true, if this had been true, oh, he could write his ticket. In Hollywood, you become a survivor of an attack by white supremacists yelling, "Make America Great Again." Oh, write your own ticket. However, there's a flip side to that. If, in fact, unless you're Al Sharpton, Al Sharpton can throw up any kind of lie he wants to throw up, and he walks away from that, and he's still Al Sharpton, and, he's still doing his thing, okay? That Tawana Brawley thing should have ended Al Sharpton's career back when he was Fat Al. He's not Fat Al anymore. In fact, for a while there, I thought Al was sick. He looked kind of ill. But back when Tawana Brawley was supposedly raped and by KKK members there in New York, that proved to be a lie that Al Sharpton perpetrated upon the American people. And our hearts went out. Everybody's heart went out to Tawana Brawley. Everybody was ticked off about that. But it proved to be a lie. And we said, oh, that's not true. It went away. Nobody says anything about it. Don't bring it up. Tawana Brawley, who knows what she's doing today? And Jesse Smollett, a year from now, if in fact this is not, if this proves to be just some made up crazy story by somebody who, for whatever reason, wanted to tell a lie on President Trump, a year from now, you may be asking the question, whatever happened to Jesse Smollett? This is that kind of moment that does turn the tide in a career one way or another. Yeah. And so we'll see how this pans out. We'll see how everything works out as far as this is concerned. But rest on this. Know this. There are people in this country right now, who would like to see a race war. And they feel as though the current administration, the president being as bold and as vocal in your face as he is, they feel that this is the perfect time, the perfect administration, perfect president to simulate and stimulate emotional upheaval to a point where you could spark a race war in this country. But by the grace of God, we would certainly be going there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God's grace is sustaining us. And I don't care if you believe it or not. It is the grace of God that is sustaining this country. And you need look no further than the fact that Hillary Rotten Clinton is not president of the United States. Especially in light of the fact the FBI and others in the deep state machine were gearing up to take this nation by the throat. Switching gears just a little bit, Anthony Weiner, and if you remember the name Anthony Weiner, ex-congressman from New York State, the state of New York. Any of you remember Anthony Weiner, disgraced former congressman who was convicted of having illicit online contact with a 15-year-old North Carolina girl back in 2017. Well, he began serving a 21-month prison sentence back in November at a federal medical center in Devens. And he's being released. Now, I don't know what the parameters and stipulations in his release are, but if he does not have a clause or some type of caveat in his release forms or whatever that indicate that he cannot become a billionaire. Even his story will be worth a lot of money to him. Oh, yeah. You remember Uma, who, in fact, was the right hand of Hillary Clinton. That was his wife. She left him, of course. I have a feeling that there is going to be him and Jesse ought to go on tour together, but there's going to be an Anthony Weiner book tour. You're going to be seeing Anthony pop up on television because if in fact that he can do it, I certainly don't believe that he should be able to profit from his crime, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does. OJ certainly is going to. In ways that
O.J. will always be O.J. Yeah. The Michael Jordan, the Bo Jackson of my generation was O.J. Simpson. But fell from grace. His own doing was just stupid. And he will ever be thought of as a person who killed two people. I still don't see how he could have done it himself, but I definitely believe that O.J. knew who did it. Even though I don't believe he actually did that himself. He was very close to the knife or something because he had cuts on his finger. But I think to take out two very young people and him being as arthritic as he is, just don't see how he could have done it. I've never believed that he could have actually done it himself. I do believe he knows who did it. And I do believe he was on the scene when it occurred. Disgraced. Anthony Weiner, O.J., and now Jesse Smollett. All in their own different ways. Disgraced. And the two, Jesse Smollett and O.J., both of them in their situations, overbearing racial intonations, both of those cases. Anthony Weiner, well, Anthony Weiner is just an idiot. But don't be surprised if you don't see Weiner, who's being released, who has been released from prison. Don't be surprised if you see him on the book circuit. And don't be surprised if Anthony Weiner makes a lot of money, if they allow him to make money from his crime. Hey, folks, it has been an absolute pleasure being with you and coming to you today. It is always a great day in the USA. It's sort of like the old folks used to say, every day that you wake up, that has to be a good day. And that's what I will say about every day that I awake and the Lord gives me grace to be alive here in this country, life, health, and strength. Every day that I find myself still favored by the eternal God, it is a good day. And I want to thank each and every one of you who come along with us daily as we build this bridge to conversation. Be sure to share the C.L. Bryan Show with others that you know about. I am so grateful to American Family, to Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Talk, a ministry of American Family Radio, for letting us become a part of their family. And I want to thank Loving Liberty. And above all, I want to thank Red State, Red State Talk Radio. And you, my fellow Americans, or whoever you may be throughout the globe, tune in and listen. Share the download, the free download of the C.L. Bryan Show onto your favorite device. And all of our shows are cataloged right there. Follow me on Twitter at Rev, R-E-V, at Rev C.L. Bryant. I look forward to talking to you again on tomorrow, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. And I want to thank him for bringing us to the close of yet another day. And I want to thank him for our men and women in uniform who defend our right to speak our minds. And until I talk to you again, I'm CL, and may God bless and keep you all.